This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been just over a month since the new youth curfew took effect in Baltimore City. In the 30 days starting August 8th, 120 minors have been picked up for curfew violations. What constitutes a curfew violation depends on age. Youth under the age of 14 have to be inside by 9 p.m. all year long. Teenagers age 14 through 16 have to be in by 10 p.m. on school nights and by 11 p.m. on weekends and during the summer. The data on these new curfew violations were released yesterday. Joining us now is Angela Janisse, Director of the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice. Angela,
thank you for having me, Sheila.
Thanks so much for coming. So of these 120 young people who received curfew violations, 97 were taken home by police. 23 were taken to one of the two youth connection centers. One is located in Sandtown, Winchester, the other in Broadway East. How does a police officer decide whether to say, I'll take you home, versus you need to go to the connection center?
The police commissioner has ordered the officers to try to reconnect the children with their parents as the first option, and for the connection centers to be a second option if they cannot make contact with the parent on the street. So once an officer determines that a young person is in violation of the curfew, they make an attempt to contact the parent. If that contact is successful, then they will reconnect the child with the parent directly and issue them a written document to let them know that the child has been in violation of the curfew. Once that interaction happens, the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice gets that information from the Baltimore Police Department so that we can follow up with the parent and child to make connections to services so that we don't lose the opportunity to connect the family and child to services, even if they have not come through the youth connection centers. For those who were not able to make contact on Fridays and Saturday nights when the connection centers are open, then those young people are brought to the youth connection centers that operate out of two recreation centers on the east side and west side. And there, our staff works with school police, student support services, the Department of Recreation and Parks to make that contact with the parent and to do necessary follow-up.
And what happens when it's not a Friday or Saturday night and you can't reach the parents?
Then
or police can't reach the parents?
If the centers are not open and the police officers are not able to reach parents, then they will look for another relative or guardian who can receive custody of the child. If that is unsuccessful, then they will contact the local Department of Social Services, and the Department of Social Services will take custody of the child and continue efforts to reach the parent.
You mentioned police giving a paper to the parent. Is that a citation?
It's not a citation. What the police do, they create what is called a juvenile custody form that details the location that the child was picked up, the time that the child was picked up, the parent or guardian that the child was released to or who takes custody. And so the parents get a copy so that they have that information for their records to know that the child has been found in violation of the nighttime curfew. That form is not a citation.
But there were citations issued.
There were citations issued to some families. There were 14 issued, yes.
And what triggers a citation?
In one instance, I know that a citation was triggered because the child was a repeat violator. She had been picked up earlier in the evening in violation of curfew, and then hours later, she was picked up again in violation of curfew, and so that triggered the issuance of a citation. When citations are issued, the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice is in touch with the family, again, so that we can make connections to counseling services and other options for the young person. If the family successfully completes counseling, the citation is rescinded so that they are not subject to a fine. In fact, the citation is rescinded or waived.
And do you know whether the 14 citations issued in the first month, did any of those actually trigger fines?
To my knowledge, they have not.
So what happens when in the situations where a child is taken to one of the connection centers, what happens once a parent arrives there?
Once a child arrives at the Youth Connection Center, they are assigned to a youth connector. And there are six youth connectors working with the mayor's office on criminal justice. And those six persons have backgrounds in social work, counseling, criminal justice, or related fields. So when the young person comes to the Connection Center, they are interviewed, talked to, assessed by the youth connector to determine if there are social service needs that need to be addressed, if there are academic needs that we may be able to assist with. And once the parent arrives to pick the child up, the youth connector has a conversation with the parent to reinforce that services are available and that the youth connector is there to work with the families to help them navigate organizations and city agencies that offer the services, and also to hear from the parents or guardians about any issues that they may be concerned with their child. There have been a couple of parents who have talked to us about trying to get services and not being able to access services on a consistent basis for their children, and feeling like this is a great opportunity to help them with that so that they can prevent their child from becoming involved in the juvenile justice system. And ultimately, that was one of the goals that we were trying to work towards with the Youth Connection Centers, is being able to avail families and young people of services before the child became system involved, whether in the Department of Social Services or the Department of Juvenile Services.
Well, as I imagine you saw in the Baltimore Sun's article about this yesterday, Baltimore City Councilman Carl Stokes, who voted against the curfew, questioned whether the law is even being enforced. I mean, he just thinks police have too much else to do and probably aren't doing much.
I think from the number of young people that we're seeing with violations, is definitely being enforced. We don't see that it's not being enforced. From the time that the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice has operated the curfew center, it's traditionally we've operated a summer curfew center since 2007. And since that time to the present, we have seen the number of curfew violations go down. I think in 2007, during that summer, the office saw more than 2,000 violations. And last year in 2013, during the 9 weeks that the traditional summer curfew center was open, we saw 165 violations through the 18 days that the curfew center was open. So we think that definitely the education and outreach is working, and that young people and parents are aware of the curfew. They are aware that when children are out in the late hours of the evening, that they should be supervised, and we're seeing that.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Angela Janisse, Director of the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice. We're talking about new data on Baltimore City's youth curfew. As you know, the American Civil Liberties Union of Maryland has been critical of this curfew law. We spoke yesterday with ACLU staff attorney Sonia Kumar, who raised several concerns.
So our primary concerns all along have been about the sort of backdrop of police interactions with Baltimore residents sort of on the streets across the board. So both, you know, interactions relating to youth who are covered by the curfew, but also young adults and those who are over the age of the curfew, but nonetheless potentially affected in terms of stops and increased interactions with police. 18 and 19-year-olds who are maybe younger in appearance, who are now having to justify, explain who they are, provide proof of their age, and persuade police officers that they have a right to be outside when there's no suggestion that they're doing anything wrong. One thing that's not apparent from the information they released was, were there curfew stops that escalated into arrests? And so, you know, those are the kinds of information that I think are essential parts of the package for the public to really assess the impact of this law.
So let's take some of those. Were there curfew pickups that escalated into arrests?
That information is still being gathered. One thing that the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice is particularly interested in is juvenile arrests. That is one thing that we are still looking at to see if curfew interactions have resulted in increased juvenile arrests. We're still gathering that data. And just to mention another program that's coming out of the mayor's office on criminal justice, we do have staff at the Baltimore City Juvenile Justice Center where young people who are arrested for delinquent offenses are taken. And we are looking to see if we've seen more diversion eligible or minor offenses coming through juvenile intake since the curfew ordinance, the amended curfew ordinance, has gone into effect, so that we can see if we are having unintended consequences. Right now, we're not seeing that, but that information is under review and forthcoming.
What type of ID does a young person have to be carrying?
They are not required to have ID. Some young people may have work permits or state-issued ID or school ID. There's no law that says they must have some type of ID. So when it comes to identifying young people, much of it does depend on the interaction that the police officer has with the young person. They tend to ask about date of birth, year of birth, grades that young people are in, so that they can discern whether or not the young person is being truthful. And for the most part, we have not had any encounters that have started as curfew infractions and led to negative interactions. For young people who are brought to the Youth Connection Centers, there are city school staff on site from the Family Engagement or Student Support Services offices who access school records to confirm young people's identity and also to confirm the parent or guardian that they're being released to. So that provides us extra information to confirm ID, date of birth, name, school enrollment, and so forth.
What do we know about the times at which police were picking kids up? Just after curfew or late at night? Or when? Do we
it's
know?
It's been mixed. We see a lot happening right after midnight, between midnight and 1:30. We see a number of curfew violations occurring then. During the first weekend, we had young people coming in as late as 3:30. We haven't seen so much of that in subsequent weekends. But between, I would say, 12 o'clock and 1:30, we are seeing a fair amount of activity.
Briefly, in the minute or so we have left, from what you've observed in this past month, what do you think is working well? What needs to be improved?
The service connection is working well, we've received positive feedback from parents that we've met with and who we've talked to about being put in touch with services and being able to get support for the family and for their children. And so I think that service connection is tremendous and is something that we set out to do. So we feel like we are connecting young people with supports and help that can encourage them along a positive youth development road.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Angela Janice is director of the Mayor's Office on Criminal Justice. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also there, more of this interview, more of our interview with Sonia Kumar, attorney with the ACLU of Maryland. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, what's on stage this season and how some stages are changing. Stay with us on 88.1.